/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
This is a journey.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing.
I didn't know nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
Put the finger roll! Plus the foul!
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Collision. This is where sports and politics collide at your home for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM WPFW. Trying to change this world one broadcast at a time. I'm Dave Zirin, joined by the great Eitan Thomas. Eitan, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave. How you feeling?
Rough times, but being with you guys, man, it gives me a lift. I can't lie. That's the truth. And you, Chuck Modiano, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. Great to be here with you, DZ and ET.
Yeah, it is a good thing. Well, today is an interesting day because it is Thursday, and we all know what Thursday means at this time in March. It means March Madness. It means the NCAA tournament. And I guess I wanted to ask you guys, because this – and we're going to speak to actually to Coach McNutt at the bottom of the hour about what's actually happening in this tournament, because, my goodness, we do need a little sugar to help the medicine go down, given everything that's going on in the world, given the injustices that I know Chuck and Eitan – are monitoring on a daily basis. It's hard not to get it into your DNA at some point, just what's happening in the world. But I guess I would ask you, Eitan, how are you able at this point to, and are you able to sort of be able to take a breath, check out something like March Madness, check out some basketball, like see what's happening along with everything that's happening right now? Are you able to do that, or is it just a situation where things just, there's such an avalanche of terrible, it's just hard to get your head around, you know, something that has provided you a great deal of joy over the course of your life?
Yeah, well, I am doing a program with Eric Diebendorf with ESPN Syracuse, so we're talking about a lot of things in college and going through it. So sometimes you do have to give yourself a little bit of a break. You know, it's hard not to, you know, get depressed and get frustrated just by wall to wall, like waiting for the next bomb to drop, both literally and figuratively, from, you know, looking at everything going on in Palestine and looking at Trump and everything that he's put. It's just, it gets overwhelming sometimes. So you do kind of have to have a balance. But yeah, no, it's, there's never a shortage of things going on now these days, unfortunately.
Yeah. What are one of the things, before I ask Chuck the same question, what are some of the things, Eitan, that you're, I mean, like you said, I think one of the things that's very difficult about this moment is that it's just like there's a buffet of injustice. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you have to make a choice, as opposed to there being like one galvanizing movement that we're all focused on, the way, for example, it was Gaza last year, you know, that everybody was talking about, everybody was clued in on, you know, at different times, it's been different things. As we know, during the times we've known each other, but this time it really does feel like I said, a poisonous buffet. Like, what are you feeling that as well, first of all? And second of all, is there a particular issue or issues that you really do feel like our listeners, like it should demand their attention?
I mean, we need like 3 hours for that one. You know, I mean, I just posted an article showing where that Israel, it's called Israel, not Hamas, is derailing the Gaza ceasefire and preventing the hostages' return. I just put it on my social media, on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's something I read this morning, and it's just detailing really the fact. It's hard when you look at the media over here. They don't tell you the whole story, you know, especially with anything going on with Palestine. It's just breaking down what happened. It's breaking down that, no, you know, Netanyahu didn't follow the agreement, and they didn't, they broke the promise to withdraw from the corridors. So it's just breaking everything down. But it's just so interesting when you hear people talk about it here, or hear it reported, it's like, oh, well, Hamas didn't release the hostages, so that's why, you know, all this happened. It's like, no, that's not what happened. You know what I mean? Just go a little deeper into this topic. That is not what happened. And it's just tough if you're looking at traditional American outlets to tell the story of what's going on. So, I mean, that's one of many. I mean, like I said, it takes 3 hours to go through everything that is going on right now.
And I got to say, it's so important that people like you, myself, Chuck, are speaking about Israel and Palestine, because we are, as of today, still citizens of this country. Mm-hmm. And the crackdown on people who are not native born in this country for speaking about these issues is intensifying. And there's no doubt at all to me that the arrest that took place yesterday of a Georgetown lecturer named Badar Khan Suri, that arrest is timed with the step up of Israel's brutality, as if to say, you know, we don't want to hear anything from any of you while this is going on. It's like Zionist McCarthyism. Mm-hmm. And because I'll tell you just real quick, I'm sorry, Chuck, but the case of Badar Khan Suri is so nefarious because I think we all know about the case of Mahmoud Khalil at Columbia. They did the same thing to Badar Khan Suri, arrested him outside of his home, people in masks claiming they're ICE, sending him to Louisiana, far from his family, far from his attorneys, intent to deport him. But here's the key difference between Badar Khan Suri and Mahmoud Khalil. Mahmoud Khalil was a movement leader of the most widespread publicized encampment in the United States. He was, in effect, a public figure, which makes it chilling. But to me, the Badar Khan Suri case is even more chilling because he was not part of the movement. He was not somebody who was a movement person. What he is married to somebody whose father was a member of the Palestinian government and a former member. And they're also accusing him of social media posts that they describe as anti-Semitic. They have no proof of that whatsoever. Nobody has found proof of that. We all see how this administration of anti-Semitic people is using anti-Semitism. Let me say weaponizing anti-Semitism as a way to silence possible opponents. So the fact that Badar Khan Suri is local over at Georgetown, living in Roslyn, the fact that he was not even somebody who was doing the kind of stuff that they're saying they're going after Mahmoud Khalil for, well, that's pretty chilling. Going to you now, Chuck. Chuck, the big question is, of course, like, how are you being able to integrate some of what's happening in the sports world, maybe as a way to take a break, maybe because you think it's a window into the broader politics that exist in in this world? And what are the issues that are focusing you like a laser right now in a political period where it just feels like there's so much?
Well, I was doing that. Thank you for the question. I was doing that with the NFL, with the baseball playoffs, and it did give me a mental break. Listen, you need a mental break. You just absolutely do. Even just to be sustained in the fight. So sports has always been my mental break. A little NBA, but I haven't watched as much as I would like, even though there's some great things happening. And it focused there, but a couple things. I haven't followed March Madness for two things. One, I used to be a crazy college basketball fan where usually when the players were hanging around there for 3 years. And then after a lot of one and done and you didn't identify, I sort of didn't watch it. I wouldn't show up at March Madness, but I didn't really watch it like I used to. And I mean, I was a Georgetown fan, by the way. We're talking about Georgetown. You know, you remember going back to Ewing days, Alonzo Mourning, Iverson, all of that. And with so much going on this week, there's literally been a protest in D.C. every single day this week. Yesterday, it was solidarity with Yemen, who is being bombed, for showing solidarity with Palestinians. There was one on Monday as well. There was on Saturday, attended a Free Khalil Mahmoud rally. You know, in New York City, there were, I think, like, hundreds of Jews took over Trump Tower. And that's very important because at a time that they're going after, you have to have a Muslim last name in a McCarthyite witch hunt. Well, more than ever, I believe Jews have to be on the front line because we do have privilege in these spaces that if I say the same thing Mahmoud does, you know what? I'm not going to have the same repercussion. They're not going after the young people of Columbia, the Jews at Columbia were having Shabbat services in that very encampment. We had Shabbat services here in GW University as well. We had Holocaust survivors speak. There was an incredible unity. So you know what anti-Semitism is? Anti-Semitism is calling anti-Zionism anti-Semitism because you're erasing the thousands of anti-Zionist Jews who are right there in solidarity. So we're in this time of public safety. So organizers and we all have to really think of where we must try to leverage our privilege to keep the safety for anyone with a Muslim last name. And it's actually really impacting me and how I even do my own media in the street. I'm going to have extra safety going on. I want two or three clearances before I put a video out that someone is comfortable with that video, particularly if they're Palestinian or Muslim or otherwise. So these are things that are on my mind. And I'll be honest, March Madness has not been on my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, the use of social media. I remember for years, Etan, us joking around a little bit about like, wow, can you believe like how much of our information we're putting out there? And then it was almost like I don't want to say funny, but it was kind of like amazing given, you know, the security culture that I think we all understand and need. One thing I never thought, Etan, we'd have are like these AI programs that basically in seconds can go through your social media. A story that blew my mind recently was a scientist from France entering the country. And that's interesting too, because it's not all brown and black people who are dealing with this right now. I find that very interesting. And I think that's a product of Trump's tensions with Europe at the moment. So this guy's coming in from France, who's a scientist. They take his computer, run a program on it. See, he did social media criticizing Trump. And they said, these criticisms of Trump mark you as a threat. And they sent him back on his way. I mean, that's wild to me, because where's the freedom of speech here? I mean, the First Amendment is not just for citizens. It's supposed to be for anybody who's on this soil. So I don't want to speak too distressingly about this moment, Etan, but I am thinking very strongly about the fact that they are trying to spread a fear message that we should all see ourselves as either on board with what they're doing or as targets.
Yeah, but this isn't new. I mean, we saw this same playbook kind of you know, exemplified. If you remember with George W. Bush, I mean, you know, after 9/11, and they decided to to invade Iraq, it was either you're either with us or you're against us. No middle ground. If you're against us, if you speak anything against the invasion of Iraq, that means you're anti-American. It was so cut and dry. So now when people looking back on it, people, you know, even Republicans be like, okay, that wasn't really the best idea. But back then, yeah, it's just really a repeat of that. So it's really nothing new. I know we got to go to a break for in a minute, but I do want to say they want to discourage people from speaking out and from even, challenging the Trump administration. But you have to be able to see the Trump administration will back down if enough backlash happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Seen it over and over. So that means, I mean, there's, you know, we can go through just the different examples. Even the example of them having Jackie Robinson not on the website. Everybody reacted to it, and then they said, it was a mistake. We mistakenly did that, and they put it back up. That was no mistake. They did it on purpose. So, you know, it's just really want to encourage people to continue to speak out, continue to you push against the things, because a lot of things that Trump is trying to do is not even legal. You just got to have somebody to push against it. Right. But right. Like I said, I know we got to go to a break. Let's go to a quick break. And I'm looking forward to talking to Coach later on. And I do want to talk about a whole lot of other topics. I want to ask you what you think about MJ opening the.
Yeah, let me lead that one off, because I want to let's talk about that for sure.
Okay.
Let's go to a quick break right now. This is The Collision. Tom Thomas got some things to say about Michael Jordan, and I think they're very important to highlight. We'll be back right after this.
America, the beautiful, gangsta's paradise. For a black man to be rich, they say we sacrifice our own family members. Like we're not savvy enough to make our standard figures. And ain't nobody in no cult. I give so much, financially give away, but there's an aspect of that that's crippling to us today. Still coping and dealing with my environment as a kid. I trust no one today because what someone in my past did. King, gotta learn to let it go and move forward. King, you should learn to say no, keep all your dough in. King, Michael Jordan gives back and you didn't know it. Like LeBron does, but it's just seldom they show it. King, get 10 points from one bird doing your thing. King, to one of your homies decide to sing. King, I started saying peace, King, on my song The Flyers, and after that it took off like fire. Peace, King. Take it from a street dude. You don't need to be a street dude.
We are back here on The Collision. You know, Elon Musk said something recently. He's the person running our country, if you don't know that. Elon Musk said something recently where he said, the greatest weakness of Western civilization, and of course, you know, my white supremacy sirens go off every time I hear that phrase, Western civilization. He said the great weakness of it is empathy. In other words, caring about other people. And saying that Elon Musk is anti-empathy, makes me think a ton of a story that you recently posted about Michael Jordan. And I want, please go ahead.
But before we get to that, Chuck, I know you wanted to say something about the last point that I said before the break, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think you were making an incredibly important point about this complying in advance that is going on. Trump knows what he's doing. And if he can get you to do his will with no hearing, with no deliberation, then he's already won. We've seen that a lot here in D.C. We've seen that with Chuck Schumer. We've seen that with Columbia University, who says, oh, my God, this $400 million, we're going to have to abide by these 9 fascist demands. But they don't. Columbia University has a $14.8 billion endowment, and that endowment is the 10th largest endowment in America. And those endowments, when they beg for donations, are precisely to weather storms like this. That $400 million is only 2.7% of that endowment. So when Columbia University says, oh, you know what, we have to comply, no, you don't. You need to use that donation money that you received for a very good cause. And we have to say that's a choice. You're choosing greed over the people, over your students, and be clear about that. And you could come back here to DC when Trump says, take the letters off the street. Bowser says, okay, I'm going to take the letters off the street because we have bigger problems to deal with, which on the surface may sound like okay. But then the next day, and she does, but then 2 days later, Trump says, what about these unhoused people messing up our magnificent lawns? And then within 24 hours, she raids the encampment when we have a 14-day rule in D.C. And this is Bowser's entire history. I'll save that for another podcast. But the point is, when you comply in advance, you are doing the work for Trump or for the fascist or the authoritarian. The way the authoritarians operate is that when you give in, they become more predatory. That is what they do. They become more predatory. You're never going to satisfy the predator. You're just going to make them more predatory. And that's what the state we're in. And there's been too much complying.
I can't agree with you more, and I want to add this to this. We'll get to MJ in a little while, but I want to add this to what you just said. I was watching this interview with Chuck Schumer on The View, and he was talking about, you know, I forgot her name, but she was challenging him and saying, though, she felt that the Democrats kind of caved to the Republicans. And he was explaining himself of why he said, well, you know, a shutdown would have been a lot worse. We're going to keep fighting them. But, you know, it might look like we're caving, but, you know, we're trying to win this and we're trying to win it strategically and the best. And for me, I'm listening to it. And I'm like, man, that is some BS. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm listening. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt and hear what he's saying. And I know a shutdown is horrible, but it sounds like that you are giving in to the demands, and it's just going to get worse. If they're going to threaten you, and whatever, you know, they say, okay, we're going to pull the plug, we're going to shut it down if you don't give in to this, and you say, okay, I don't want that, so that's worse than what you're proposing. So I'll just go along with what you say. It's only going to get worse from there.
That's it.
It's only going to get worse. It's not a good strategy. I mean, I'm not the biggest strategist.
It's a horrible strategy. And I want to implore people. There's a Republican congressperson, Thomas Massie, and I don't like his politics. Let me just say that right away. I do not like his politics. But he's the only Republican not bought by AIPAC. And he's been going scorched earth. His wife passed, because if his wife in June, if his wife were around, she'd be like, what are you doing? You're going to get us killed. He's been going scorched earth, talking about AIPAC, the inner workings, talking about sexual misconduct and how taxpayers' money is being used to squelch it. He's talking about the Chuck Schumer. He called Chuck Schumer's quote-unquote capitulation 3 days in advance. You could go to his Twitter, and he says, this is all a fake fight. I'm telling you right now, I'm certain of it. This is what Chuck Schumer is going to do. The deal has already been cut. Hakeem Jeffries is in on it, too. And he's spilling beans in a way that I've never quite seen a sitting congressperson, because he's ostracized by Republicans, and Trump had an attack on him. He's ostracized by Democrats because of his political views. So he's an island, and he has chosen to speak out and spill in ways I've never seen. So I would tell everyone, if you're interested in the inner workings of politics, check out Thomas Massie's timeline.
Very good. And before we go to MJ too, Chuck, I actually have an addition to what you said about the voluntary compliance that's taking place.
Yeah.
It's a slight disagreement, but it's one that I think you're going to agree with, if that sounds interesting or weird. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important that people like the three of us always try to distinguish the difference between compliance and complicity. Chuck Schumer was not being compliant. He was being complicit.
Yes.
Columbia University, with what they're doing right now, is not being compliant. They're being complicit. People who are being compliant are lacking courage, lacking strategy, lacking backbone. People who are being complicit want these things to happen and are using Trump as a pretext to actually achieve their most nefarious dreams. Columbia University does not want these kids on their campus. And Trump is giving them a way to do it. And they are thrilled. Chuck
Schumer, thank you for uplifting
me. Well.
Thank you for uplifting me, because you are absolutely right. My language was too soft. And that's a very important distinction you just made. They're complicit. I think Bowser might be on the more compliant as a careerist, only caring about her own. I think she might fall in that category. But the other two, they are absolutely complicit. They're on the same team.
And I'm not saying it's always, but I think that we need to like use analysis because it does make a difference in strategy and tactics, whether we're talking about compliance or complicity.
That was absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for making my statement better. Thank you.
Ah, you're crazy. Etan, we were talking about empathy before and that Elon Musk thinks it's a weakness. And that takes me to Michael Jordan. Can you say something about that, please?
So the news just got around, you know, it's kind of spreading a little bit. I might write something about this later. But Michael Jordan opened his fourth free healthcare health clinic for uninsured and underinsured families in his home state of North Carolina. And it's a big deal just because of, you know, under normal circumstances, our healthcare system, of course, is very much, could be improved a lot, we'll say it that way. But now with what is happening and the things are proposed by the Trump administration and the different, as we were just talking about, it's tied into the Chuck Schumer discussion we talked about earlier, is the thing that they're taking away from Medicaid and Medicare in order to make room for the tax cuts and the implementing the immigration policies. But the one of the casualties of that war is the healthcare system. And so it's just great timing for what MJ is doing, somebody who doesn't typically have the reputation of doing a lot in the community. Now, I will say that as his teammate with the Wizards, I did see him do a lot more than he told people about, but there was just a missed opportunity of him lending his voice, because his voice was so powerful, to things that directly impacted the Black community as a whole. And there, you know, we've talked about this over the years in you know, in detail, in depth, and everything like that. But it was great to see that he did this. It's not saying this erases anything. It's not saying it's, you know, it's just saying it's great to see him doing this, and it is much needed. And the people who are underinsured and uninsured are greatly benefiting from his free healthcare facilities.
That's really important, I think, especially in a country that does such a poor job of healthcare. And it's just going to get more and more difficult to do. And it's one of those things too, Etan, that not everybody is ready to get in front of a crowd of thousands of people and speak out for healthcare justice. Sometimes you really do have to get in where you fit in. And I, you know, I think of our listeners. I know some of our listeners who, you know, are in a condition where it's even difficult for them to leave the house, let alone to go to a demonstration, yet they're still calling up and giving us $10, $15 to make sure that our show can keep on going. Like, I think about that a lot. Like there's always a way to do your part. You know, none of us are objects of history. We are all subjects of history. And we have to remember that the more they try to beat us down.
That's true.
So,
and that $5 donation, people sleep on a $5 donation. I know at times I gave $5. That means I didn't have that much more than $5 in my pocket when you're given $5. So I you know, I always honor that because usually people who are suffering understand what it's like for other people who are suffering. So, you know, nothing like all those donations should not be discounted or because one is bigger than another. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, excellent. Very well put indeed. You know, this is where we are right now. And we need to be honest about that with our listeners, while also saying, you know, that we need to talk about these issues. Like, Etan, we've got, you know, we're going to go to Coach and talk about March Madness. But, you know, with the three of us, I think we also have to recognize a couple of things that I do think people should keep their eyes on. The first is the gambling addiction economy that exists in this country, and the fact that more people, particularly young people, are going to bet on March Madness than bet on the Super Bowl. It's the number one thing that people bet on. And when we have this prevalence of app gambling now, that can really ensnare kids in all sorts of trouble. And then the second thing, Etan, is what I'm really interested in. I'm curious what you think about this. Women's basketball, the women's NCAA, last year by a huge margin, the women's basketball tournament got higher ratings than the men's. Now, was that a Caitlin Clark thing? Or does this have legs going into this year, particularly with people like Juju Watkins, who are mesmerizing to watch? And just, Katan, before we go to break, what do you think? Is is the NCAA women's tournament, is it going to pull those ratings this year?
I don't know, because as we talked about before, a lot of people were tuning in to Caitlin Clark for the wrong reasons. Yes. And that is something that really does move the needle in an unbelievable way. You know, we were talking about Juju Watkins, and she is absolutely amazing. She broke Caitlin Clark's record for the fastest points by, in 2 years and all this stuff. But she's not really receiving the overall praise that Caitlin Clark is because of that different racial dynamic. Now, if Juju Watkins was white, it would be all over the place. Now, yes, she's getting NIL and she's getting – now, I'm just talking about that demographic of people that came there for Caitlin Clark. So I don't think you're going to see that group come there now. And there are – I mean, Paige Buckner's is the truth. You know what I mean? But they just not – they haven't wrapped their arms around her like they did Caitlin Clark. And it seemed to me that ever since she did that statement at the ESPYs where she did – Black women props and said we've been on the shows of Black women and we have to, and she said that it's like people stop messing with her when I say
ding ding ding.
That's okay. You agree with me? Yeah,
I agree with you. Caitlin Clark was speaking, and Iowa was speaking to a very specific crowd, and Paige Becker is undermining that crowd. She's not going to get the same white people.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the same white people. Yeah. That's
very true. And I'll say a couple other things about Paige Buckets, as we call her in our home. The other thing about Paige Buckets is you said something very important there, Chuck. It wasn't just Caitlin Clark. It was the Iowa dynamic. It was the dynamic of the racial makeup of that entire team. Yeah. You know, and listen to Paige Buckets. I mean, you know, Paige Buckets, as always, you know, she's best friends with Jalen Suggs, for goodness sakes. You know, she has always been around Black people and has a love and respect for Black people. And if you ever listen to her talk, you know, she code switches, you know, but she does it with respect. And in my opinion, as a white person, I think she does it with respect. And I think that's exactly her. You can look at her social media. Sometimes she's just thugging. I just think that, you know, that America, white America, keeps her at arm's length. Even though, like, just based on optics, she's even more like America's sweetheart than Caitlin Clark. Fascinating stuff, man.
Yeah. And can arguably be a better player. I know a lot of people won't think that, but can arguably. We'll wait and see.
We got to wait and see on that. I am concerned about the injury toll.
The injury toll is something. You know, she was dropping, you know, before the injury, she was dropping 46% from 3-point range her freshman year. I mean, that's outrageous. Now she's at like 40, 41%, but that's where she was her freshman year, which was insane.
Mm. And I really respect her coming back this year because she was like work unfinished at UConn. You know, I believe that was the most sincere thing in the world when she said that. Yeah. You know, some people were like, oh, she doesn't want to go out in the same draft as Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, all of that publicity. No. She wanted to finish the job. That's why I like UConn in this year's tournament, although Dawn Staley always looms large. Let's go to break right now. We're the Collision. We rock it here on WPFW, talking the sports, talking the politics, Magic Mike on the wheels of steel. When we come back after this, you know, we all need a little break from the heaviness. And we're going to go to Coach. Hopefully Coach will figure out how to use his Zoom. And we're going to talk about what Coach is seeing in his favorite time of year, and that is March Madness. We'll be back right after this. Call it finders, keepers, and then see how y'all adjust. And I was lucky where I never had to look for. It was like a lullaby before Daddy took off. Singing how we got the free Huey. We got the free Huey. Vision bright enough where you could probably see it through me. With my fists up in the air, same shade as Little Sambo. Reach for my umbrella, I was raised to let a cannon blow. Pancakes for everyone who need to get their plate filled. Pistols in the kitchen for whoever feel the weight still. Younger me, taught that the world is under me. And to stand above it is to never stand comfortably. White man come for me. No, I ain't the typical 10-point program, honor it like it's biblical. All praise due here, and know what to do if they bring Charles Gaines through here. The shit I overheard televised, but it was spoken word, and I heard every part of it. Bravery and all the worry at the heart of it. Fully loaded clips, no bargaining. Admiring the beauty was in all of it. And Alton looked at me like, tell me what you thought of it. Baton Thomas, what were we just listening to right there? I feel like I know it, but I don't know it.
That was Sky Zoo. Talented, talented, talented. Mike, you up on Sky Zoo? He doesn't get as much props as he should. He's been spitting album after album. I'm a big fan of his.
Oh, he's dope, bro. He's been dope for a minute.
Well, a long time, right? Yeah, he just doesn't. I don't think he gets enough props.
It's kind of good that a lot of people don't know about him, but then, you know, I guess it's not so good for, you know, the pockets or whatever. But those real ones, you know, we know about the real ones.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, and you know, without the real ones, you don't get the commercial ones because they provide the basis, the heart, the realness that a lot of people just sponge off of. But at the same time, we know that they're the base of this entire operation.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's March Madness. None of us really, I shouldn't speak for Etan. Chuck and I have no idea what's going on. We need to know who are going to be some fun teams to watch. Is Duke the overwhelming favorite? Is Cooper Flagg the truth? We're going to go to Mr. Coach Kevin McNutt, who's going to break down the teams that we should be looking at and the players that we should be looking at.
But, Coach, I got to ask you first. I got to jump in here first with the first question. You got to unmute your mic, though. But I got to ask you this. Were you surprised that North Carolina got in the tournament? That's what I want to ask you, first of all, because I know you watched it. I know you paid attention, and I know you have an opinion on this. Were you surprised that they got into the tournament? But you got to unmute your mic. I think your mic is still muted.
See, we got this button, Coach, on the far left. You click on it, and it unmutes the mic. Well, as Coach works on the mic situation,
working on.
I was shocked, Etan, that
so let me break it down a little bit while Coach is working on his mic. So North Carolina, they got one quad one win out of 11, okay? And so you had other teams that just did better than them. They got more quality wins. They're called quad one wins. And so that was the reaction that a lot of people had was like, wait a minute, is North Carolina just getting in because of the name of North Carolina, because of the marketing that they bring? Is it, you know, and also their athletic director is on the selection committee for March Madness.
I'm like,
isn't that a little bit of a conflict of interest? But you have West Virginia that had six quad one wins. You had Ohio State that has six quad one wins. And Indiana that had four quad one wins, and none of them got into the tournament, only North Carolina. And I was like, yo, you know, Hubert Davis is my former teammate. We're here with the Wizards. That's my guy. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, nah, this doesn't quite look fair. What was your reaction, Dave?
Yeah, man, Hubert Davis, you know, a terrific coach. And as we know, he loves his white wife. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. That's an all-time press conference moment.
You gotta explain what happened now, because so many people will hit me about that. I mean, I don't know why he said it too. I'm
like, because it's funny. It's so funny.
The commentator, the reporter, and the white guy, he got the job. I'll say it real quick. And he was like, you know, you're the first African-American North Carolina history and the ACC and the way that he's built this all up and everything like that. And it's just a monumental time. And what does this mean to you as a black man in this country to be able to do this? And Hubert said, you know, yes, I'm happy about that, but I'm also proud of my white wife. And the guy's face was like, what? Huh? What did you just say? So
we all did a triple take. But yeah, Coach figured out the mic. We're proud of him for doing so. I will say very quickly, Hubert Davis, I believe the nephew of one of my favorite players growing up, the Greyhound, Walter Davis. What a player with the Phoenix Suns. I sound old. But let's take it to you right now, Coach. The teams you're looking at, the players you're looking at, does Patino and St. John's, do they look spicy to you? Should Duke be the overwhelming favorite? What do we think of Cooper Flagg? What are you looking at, Coach? Cinderella's favorites. Give us your rundown and your thoughts on the Field of 64.
I got to back you guys up. So listen to the whole show here. And I got you boys beat by 28. So I'm going to drop this on you about checking out mental health and all that good stuff. In terms of you guys saying, like Chuck said, he's not really following March Madness, and he always did. your wife is in education, Dave, as is mine. I'm a counselor. Eton's coach. You coach. You just wrapped up coaching the little girls, nine year old under team.
10 and 11, but yeah, you got
it. Here's something, gentlemen. Remember this. I learned this through being in education so long. In education, because you're always dealing with kids, as is politics, and now they're solving under with Trump and the boys. Education is a bucket without a bottom. You can never fill it up. And it's the same thing with politics now. We can fight, but you cannot fill this bucket up. It's without a bottom. So you have to back out. You have to take your time. You have to enjoy your family. You have to find a diversion and recharge the battery, or you're going to take your health down to where you can't continue to fight. You dig?
Yeah,
I dig. It's happening.
Yeah. So anyway, now moving on to what Eton said about Carolina. I actually said yes, Eton, because unlike this quad one stuff, there's a difference between a quad one win in November or quad one loss in November and what you are in a quad one loss in March. And that's what they're saying the criteria is, although they backtrack and said there's other metrics and so forth and so on. So actually, Carolina had won. They lost a lot of games early. They were 1-12 or whatever the number is. But they went on a run to where they won 8 of their last 10. And the only two losses were to Duke. And pass my eye test, they can play. I mean, they're not going to win the tournament, but they can play. So I thought they belonged. And I got, so people got on my case heavy because, wait, they don't belong. And everybody's jumping on. It's an easy sell for people. Hey, you know, Carolina should be in. I agree. I thought he should be in. And they already won a game. They're going to beat Ole Miss. And I haven't run into Michigan State. So anyway, so to answer both those questions, what you're talking about, Dave, the big question is, I don't know how much you guys are following, 14 teams got in from the SEC.
Right.
That's crazy. Now, yeah. They said it, you know, by metrics and by all the standards, quad ones, that they're the strongest conference, and it probably is. They went 89 and 10, and don't hold me to the number, in the preseason schedule before you go to conference. So it's all good. 14 teams is a bunch. And check this out. Texas was lost last night, 6-10 in conference. I got a problem with that. Oklahoma, 6-10 in conference. If you can't finish 500 in your conference, I don't care how strong you are. I don't see you advancing deep into this tournament. So Oklahoma, Texas last night, Vanderbilt, a couple of others, that although they have a 500 record, I think they're going to struggle.
What's the question? So, Coach, yes, sir. Back in 2021, the Big East had 11 schools.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I think sometimes that's just how it happened. The SEC, it was strong this year. I mean, yes. there was a strong cop. 14 teams is a lot. I think that's a record ever. That's crazy, 14 teams. how many teams are in the conference?
16 or 17, I think.
That's crazy. Everybody got in. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
that's a lot. But it'll be interesting. Who do you have a Final Four?
Yes, sir.
Who's your Final Four?
By the way, when the Big East did 11, I think that was the year that three went in there. I think that was the Villanova, Georgetown, and St. John's. As a matter of fact, that's only been done by them having three teams in the Final Four. And because I'm a Big East guy, you're a Big East guy, I don't want anybody to break the record, and I don't have three SEC teams going to the Final Four.
Okay.
Good. Who you got? Shout out to 1985 with
Colin
Johnny's, Ed Pinckney, Nova. Yeah. We all know that.
Patrick. Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it because Georgetown lost at the buzzer. So, and I'm Georgetown. Monica's Georgetown. So, moving on.
Monica is doing a fantastic job too. I just want to tell you that great job, Dad, because the way you prepared Monica, she is like a superstar. But go ahead. I'll let you get to your Final Four.
Part of the preparation was meeting Dave Zirin, who gave her a ton of fantastic advice. Let me make that clear. So there's a whole bunch of people that helped her on her path. That's Michigan State in the South, Florida in the West, Duke in the East, and Houston in the Midwest. It's pretty much chalk, which I don't like doing. Michigan State's a two, Florida's a one, Duke's a one, Houston's a one. I usually go upsets. If I want to give you an upset, because Dave's going to ask me that, I have Louisville shocking Auburn after they beat Creighton today.
Oh, yeah?
Auburn's lost three out of four. They have a knucklehead player on their team that starts, that he's getting technicals, getting thrown out of game. I just don't.
They look good. They look good, though, Coach. Auburn is pretty good to me.
Hey, I know. I'm going against the grain, but that's what I do. That's what I do. You know, I'm a referee. Okay.
You know, interesting. I think St. John's has a chance to come out the West. I've really been impressed with them. I was impressed with them watching them throughout the Big East tournament. Just the way their whole team, and it's tough because talking about Rick Pitino, you know, it's just so interesting because he has so much baggage and so much stuff that he has in the past, and you know, with the players, with the prostitutes, and the weird thing with the waitress and the bar and the abortion and all the different stuff that he has. But don't nobody care about that if you win. If you win, all is forgiven. Ain't nobody even worried about none of that. Nobody care about the prostitutes. They're praising him. He got the Big East Coach of the Year. He's the Godfather. All that different stuff. Ain't nobody even thinking about that. All the stuff. It's just. That's just interesting to me how that works. Ain't it, Coach?
What I'm fearful about St. John's is they can't put the ball in the bucket from three nor from the free throw line, and that's going to catch up. I don't care how good Pitino is, and he's a grandfather of coaches. So I think I see them getting to Florida. Florida's got just too much, and I just worry about St. John's putting the ball in the bucket when they need to.
All right, Coach, here's my question. You have Duke in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I see a mock draft. Most of the mock drafts have three Duke players in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Out some three Duke players in the top 7. When I look at recent NCAA winners, they all seem to have a nice little packet of NBA future and future pros as part of their core. Should we be seeing, and Duke's the only team that really has that in terms of that level of talent at the top of the draft next year. Do you think that this is all almost like a coronation ceremony for Duke? Or do you see either, I know you have them in the Final Four, do you see any of those three teams as having the ability and the personnel to take them down?
Yeah, we know that Cooper, that Flash will be the number one pick. On injury, but that's can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay,
you just got to put that mouth up to the mic and you'll be
I see Duke Cooper Flagg is going to be a number one pick and they have future pros, but understand this, their roster right now consists of freshmen and a load. I don't care if they're five stars or not, that's freshmen that never seen this before. So that's a concern. But when you look at their path, they have a yellow brick road getting to the Final Four with the teams in their bracket, that even if Flag is out, they can put you in the lineup, Dave Zirin, the 5'10 center from the Bronx, and you would help the team win. So
absolutely, I would. But I would never play for Duke.
I know that. I know that. So, yeah, they're going to be all right. They got future pros. But right now, this is a freshman-dominated team except for Proctor, their pseudo point guard. So there's some reservations there, but that's the only one. Their path to the Final Four is pretty clear and pretty easy.
So you don't have them winning at all is what you're saying?
I got Florida winning at all.
Interesting. I'm with Etan on the Johnnies, frankly.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of bias, but there you go. Yeah. It's amazing what they're doing there. Coach, what about those Cinderella teams? What about these teams that you think might be? I'm not saying someone's got to be a George Mason and go to the Final Four here. Like you, I think we're a little bit beyond thinking a true Cinderella. And first of all, how do you define a true Cinderella? Is it 10 or up? And do any of those teams have the potential to make a long run?
10 or up, 6 or up. Like NC State last year, you know, they won the. The coach was slated to be fired. He got fired just recently because they didn't even make their tournament. You got these tournaments. ACC has 16 teams or something. NC State didn't make it. The coach got fired. NC State was a 6 last year. They won the ACC tournament, got on a roll, won 9 straight, and went to the Final Four. So I would say 6 or lower have a chance. And if you get again, I say Louisville might have a chance. Clemson. Who else do I think can make a run? But those are about it. I really see it's going to really be hard. Oregon, I really think it's hard now with the NIL. You just pay to get the best players,
and the little boys can't. So it's really, really going to be hard for the little boys to string six games in here. It's just,
NIL. I hear you, coach, but my thing with that is, you know, a lot of people are talking about the NIL and having their issues with it, and there's this whole coded language that keeps popping up with it as if the players don't deserve to get NIL. And I have such an issue with it because for so long the NCAA was making billions of dollars off of players and nobody had a problem with it. Nobody had a problem with what the coaches were making. Right. Literally everybody on the coaching, on the staff, right. Everybody associated with the university, everybody was on salary, whether it was a little school, money generating sport, whatever, they were making money. Right. And the players weren't getting anything. So I got to always push that back when people say, oh, the NIL is this and that and the play. I'm like, hold up now. If y'all didn't have any problems with how much the coaches and everybody else was making, when they making millions of dollars and all that, and how much the universities are making, then you can't have a problem now that the players are getting money that's not even out of the school's budget. This is all the collective and outside stuff. This don't even take away from what the school is making.
Right. No, but here's my point. Into NIL. I'm gonna give you an example in a minute. Understand, Duke can get Cooper Flag. There's no way High Point can get Cooper Flag. You understand what I'm saying? Just in money alone.
Well, BYU, you saw what BYU said. Yes. I don't know how they came up with that. They came up with a very large number to give him. So
that's a booster. I mean, let's be real. Mormons got deep pockets, especially when you're the.
I didn't expect that number at all.
No, Eton.
Who do you think owns those Marriott hotels? You know, I mean, when you're a lighter shade of pale, BYU comes up with the cash.
But watch this on NIL though. Two things just happened yesterday, matter of fact. West Virginia coach who just got there from, where is he? Drake, I think, just signed at West Virginia last year. And he just turned around and went to Indiana 2 days ago. So he comes 1 year and he's gone. Watch this. They're also the coach at McNeese State, who's in the tournament, they announced yesterday that he's going to take the head job at NC State. And this is 24 hours before they have to play a game today. So, you know, and so like you said, Eton, the coaches are moving, they're making millions, and now you want to say the kids can't. I don't like saying kids, young men can't. And most of those, and what are they at the highest level? They're black boys. They're black young boys playing this game. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm in for NIL. So let's be clear about that. I wasn't knocking. I'm just saying that Cooper Flag can go to Duke, but High Point can't get him at all. Don't have a chance.
I got you.
Mm. So, you know, we got to get it local here for a second.
Maryland.
I mean, how'd you know where I was going? Dairy Queen and the Terps, they're a number 4 seed, I believe. They've had some really nice moments this year. They lost to Michigan State. Eton, this still blows my mind. They lost to Michigan State and Michigan with a combined 0.1 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
In both games combined, 0.1.
It's interesting because Coach Willard made a statement, and he said if Derek Queen was a white foreign kid, he'd be the number one pick. And I thought it, you know what I mean? But I was kind of surprised that he actually said it. And it's, goodness, we almost out of time. Wow, I'm about to get into it. All right, we got to say that for next week.
So you're saying if his name was Derek Queenich, he'd be
Derek Quinovich or something like that. Yeah. 100%.
Take it to you, Coach. Maryland prospects. How excited should we be?
Derek Queen's a pro. And they're saying that about Derek Queen because he's not the most athletic. He's not a high flyer. He's not explosive, but he has excellent ball skills. He's a high IQ cat. So that's what I think that's what they mean by that comparison. If he was white, they'd be all over him because he's not flying to the rim from the foul line and all this kind of stuff. Maryland's got a good chance. People don't understand. They're playing Grand Canyon, who was in a tournament last year. They beat St. Mary's, so they know what they're doing. They're not going to be awestruck by the bright lights. They have great size, and they have a pro. So they got to beat that. If they buy that, they play Memphis State, Memphis now. Tough draw, another athletic team. They got screwed a little bit on their draw. And then I think they play Florida. So I don't see them getting past Florida. Sweet 16, that's it. And Queen's a pro. He's gone, so don't hope for him to be back.
Yeah, he's gone.
All I got to say, Coach, is it's a football term, but it applies to the NCAA. Any given Sunday, something can happen. So do not sleep on the Terps. That's all I want to say.
It's a tough draw. You look at Duke's draw, you look at Maryland's draw. Oh, my goodness, man. They got a hands full. And if by chance they upset Florida, you guys, St. John's might be standing there, Texas Tech. So they have a hard path. And everybody says, which is true, they're five. They're starting five. What do they call them? The crab five. You need depth. Mm-hmm. As a referee, somebody's going to get in foul trouble with the tournament because the referees are trying to advance just like the teams.
Yeah. Mm. At the Bristol Hotel, where they at? Jamaica, Queens. Sorry, I had to do that. Old LL Cool J. Well, we're out of time. Etan Thomas, any last words?
No. Great discussion as always.
Yeah, this show gives me life. Chuck, anything left you want to say, my friend?
No, great discussion as always, again. So this was a lot of fun. Welcome, Coach. Good to hear from you.
Hey, you guys are the best, man. I mean, when I can't get the show, I archive the show. Fighting City Hall. I love Fighting City Hall. Keep doing what you're doing with your posts, columns, articles, man. I love you. We need you guys. Keep marching, soldiers. Keep marching.
Thank you so much, Coach. Hey, thank you to all our listeners. For everybody out there listening here on WPFW, please stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace. In my sleep, I make it splash like I'm one of the brothers. My jumper wet as a puddle. Give me the ball at the end of the buzzer. I win it like none.
Please join the WPFW family as we celebrate the life and legacy of our friend and colleague Larry Applebaum, longtime host of The Sound of Surprise, who joined the Ancestors on February 21st. Join us this Sunday, March 23rd, at Westminster Presbyterian Church, beginning at 2 p.m., as we gather to remember Larry and his more than 40 years of service to WPFW, his long career at the Library of Congress, and his many contributions to the jazz world at large. Paul Carr and friends will be on hand to provide the music. Again, that's this Sunday, March 23rd, beginning at 2 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 400 I Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, go to WPFWFM.org. We hope to see you there.
Film making from all corners of the continent and across the diaspora is featured at the 21st New African Film Festival, presented by AFI and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 14 to the 27th. The festival features 29 films from 19 countries, discussions with filmmakers, and more. The 2025 New African Film Festival features the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa. Tickets and full schedule at AFI.com/silver. That's AFI.com/silver or at 301-495-6700. That's 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How do you find peace and happiness amidst all the uncertainty around us? On March 20th, the International Day of Happiness, spiritual leader Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar will be in conversation with author Arthur Brooks at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. for Unlocking Happiness. Practical tools to cultivate joy backed by science and timeless wisdom will be shared, including a live guided meditation by Gurudev. Details at aolf.me/UHDC.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here. You know what that means. Good events, good music, good food, good people, good weather, and the 9th annual Words, Beats, and Life Festival happening April 3rd through the 6th all over Washington, D.C. There will be DJs, concerts, poetry slams, children's activities, and a festival. Details can be found at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Do you love captivating stories about our planet and the people who protect it? The DC Environmental Film Festival returns to theaters.